Thank you, Melanie. God bless your heart. Thank you so very, very much. Appreciate your ministry and music. Check, check. There we go. Okay, good, good. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much for that ministry and music. We're not here to be entertained or tickled. We're not here to be pleased. We're here to praise the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him up, lift him high. And music has a way of doing that in our hearts, and we sure appreciate the emphasis. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so very much. Take your Bibles, please, as you turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. While you're doing that, I know that we did have a lot of extra things this morning, and that's good. Brother Stone, good to have you here with us, and I'm glad that we have speakers up top. I can hear as we're making ready for the baptismal service and things. We'll be having an offering for the Gideons probably next week, and so you be in prayer about that, of what you could do to be a part of this great work and this great ministry. And so thank you very, very much. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin reading, please, in verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We'll stop reading right there. Heavenly Father, we do bow the knee before Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I thank you, Lord, for the music. I thank you for the salvation. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that we look forward to seeing you one day face to face. And this service is a reminder of that, that we're still communing with you and fellowship with you in this kind of a service, because we don't see you face to face, but it will happen soon. We look forward to that great reunion day, and oh, what a moment that will be. Lord, if there's someone who does not know you in the forgiveness of sin, if they've not been born again into the family of God, I pray that today would be the day that changes their eternal destiny. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister, and Holy Spirit, would you turn the searchlight of your convicting power into our life and into our heart. If there is something that is hindering our walk and our fellowship with thee, Lord, I pray that you would show us. I pray, Lord, that we would repent of that. And I ask you, God, that we would seek to serve you and follow you with our whole heart. Lord, thank you so much for what you're going to do now through your precious word. And for the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. This is a good Sunday morning to be here. Memorial Day, of course, is a great weekend. And I'm sure many of you have some plans to be with family. But this is a good day to be in church, because this is probably one of the shortest Sunday morning sermons you're going to have to enjoy. So I hope that it's a blessing, though, and I hope that God's word is a strength. The first century, of course, there was a man named Nero who sat as emperor on the throne of Rome. And he was the world ruler of that day. Everyone knew and feared the name Nero. The name Paul was just an insignificant, unattractive leader of a small religious group that was just referred to as troublemakers by the Roman Empire. Fast forward 2,000 years. It's interesting that 2,000 years later, we name our sons Paul and we name our dogs Nero. When we remember things, when we remember like the tomb of the unknown soldier there in Arlington Cemetery, and great things that we want to recall and great things we want to remember, and someone that you love and someone that you cherish. I was thinking of in India. I've never seen this. I've seen pictures of it. The Taj Mahal. What was his name? Shah Jahan. He built the Taj Mahal as a tribute to his dearly beloved wife. Spared no expense. And on the cornerstone of the Taj Mahal, this inscription is engraved, to the memory of an undying love. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." This service that we're going to enjoy in just a moment, I want to call your attention to what the Bible has to say about this title I've given this message, Remember Me. Remember Me. And that's what this is all about. It's not about Volusia County Baptist Church. It's not about the members of our church. This is all about Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. This is all about Him and to glorify His holy name. And I'd like us to talk about for just a moment our manner of taking the Lord's Supper. And the Bible gives some clarity here about our manner, and we should take the Lord's Supper willingly. Flip over one page to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, the Bible says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Now Jesus, He held up the juice, the fruit of the vine, He held it up and He said, "This is my blood." He held the bread, the unleavened bread. He said, "This is my body." Now, when he held it up and he said those words, obviously, he wasn't saying, "This bread is my body," because they were looking at his body. We do not believe, and the Bible never teaches and never says, that somehow mystically that the grape juice that is in here and the unleavened bread that is before us, that somehow mystically and magically this becomes the body and the blood of Christ, and that somehow that when you take the bread and the juice into you, you're receiving Jesus Christ, and therefore that is how you go to heaven. That is never taught in the Word of God. That is taught by religions of the world, but it wasn't taught by Jesus and wasn't taught in Scripture. And so we know that it's not an addition to saving grace. The saving grace was completed at the cross when He said, "It is finished." The payment was made. Our manner of taking is willingly, not out of duty, but out of delight. Not something that's just a command to obey, but it is a blessing to enjoy. We don't come today to have a moment of silence for a dead person. We've gathered together at a table with a friend. You see, although He does not become these elements, Jesus Christ is with us today. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in your midst." He is alive and well. And I'm so thankful that He showed Himself with infallible proofs, undeniable proofs, that He rose again from the dead for our justification. He is our high priest. He brought His blood to pay payment for our sins. We take the Lord's Supper willingly. Second, we take the Lord's Supper worthily. Worthily. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 of chapter 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." We must take the Lord's Supper worthily. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to be worthy. None of us can be worthy of the Lord Jesus. You have to understand that. All we like sheep have gone astray. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Jesus makes us worthy. That word worthily, it is an adverb. And to remember your English grammar, adverbs, they connect to verbs and describe the verb and things. So how we receive the Lord's Supper is important. Let me give some requirements that the Bible gives us here. The Lord's Supper is for the redeemed, for the redeemed. Look back in chapter 10, please. Staying in our context here, chapter 10 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10, 20, the Bible says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You see, the lost have no part in this. They have nothing to remember. They're not looking back to the cross as their salvation. May I address those of you who have never come to the point in your life that you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. You might be a member of 5 different churches. You might do some wonderful charitable events throughout your life. You might be a good person and a wonderful parent, a great spouse, a hard worker. But all our righteousnesses, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. In His sight, He is holy. There's nothing we can do to reach that point of holiness. So it's for the redeemed. It's only for those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That water up there, we baptized Jasper in a few moments ago. It's Orange City water. Sometimes it's true to its name. It can't wash away sin. This church cannot wash away sin. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away and pay for our sin debt. God must be satisfied. The redeemed, when were you saved? I asked little Jasper, I said, tell me about when you got saved. And I asked him how old he was, 6 years old. And he and his dad were telling me about when he got saved. You know, I was 6 years old when I got saved. That's pretty young. But I remember what took place in this little heart. I remember that Jesus loved me enough to speak to this little boy. So whether you're a boy or a girl or a grandma or grandpa, it doesn't matter. We're going to stand before Him one day, and I ask you, when were your sins washed away? When were you redeemed? This service that we have, that we're going to about to enjoy, is a remembrance of what Jesus did for you. It is for the redeemed. Second, it is for the reconciled. Look back in chapter 11. Are you back there? Chapter 11, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says in this context, verse 17 and 18, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. He said, I'm going to tell you something I'm not happy about. That ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. He says, things aren't good. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. It's for the reconciled. You know, as we come to the Lord's table, we should not have malice toward anybody, any believer in Christ. If there's someone that you would have a hard time shaking hands and saying, good to see you, glad to have you here. If there's hatred in our heart, if there's something unresolved, that needs to be reconciled. We're family, folks. We're going to spend eternity together. Let me ask you something. What is it? What is there a problem or a burden that you're carrying in your heart, in your life? Maybe a difficulty. Maybe something is weighing you down. Fast forward with me 100 years. What will it matter 100 years from now? Really? I mean, when we're with Christ, when we're with the Lord and we're in heaven, will we even recall the thing that so dominates our thoughts? No. Why not just put it back where it belongs, under the blood? The reconciled. It's for the redeemed. It's for the reconciled. Third, it's for the reverent. Look at verse 20. It's for the reverent. Now, when you come together, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, stay with me here. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. A lot of times we as Baptists, we get accused of making a lot of eating times. God and Country Day. Hey, we'll have an all-American lunch, you know, and we'll have a great time. And tonight we're going to have refreshments. Pastor Aaron's last service tonight. Looking forward to Pastor Aaron preaching tonight in the service. And marvelous things ahead of us this evening. Please make sure you're back tonight. And then we're going to have a time of refreshments. You know, we're not going to have steak and potatoes. We're going to have some good refreshments back there. But, you know, the Lord fellowshipped with people in many ways, and a lot of those times it was over a meal. There's something unifying about that. Well, in the early church here at Corinth, what was happening was they said, you know, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And so they made it kind of like a church dinner. And every time they had the Lord's Supper, they had church dinner. Well, as a result of that, you had people coming from all different economic levels and economic strata. You had people that were thrilled if they could have a peanut butter sandwich, so to speak. Bologna was eating high on the hog. And then you had people in the church, as it always is. You had people in the church that God had blessed with inheritance, or God had blessed with hard work, or God had blessed with opportunity that the others did not have. And they were well off, and they brought, they had to figure, okay, do I do roast pork or roast beef, or what am I going to, okay? And everybody had their own. And you had some people that when you had the Lord's Supper, they knew it was going to be dinner time, and no one shared, and they all had their own picnics type thing. And people didn't want to come to church that night observing the Lord's Supper because it was dinner time and they were embarrassed at what they did not have. He said, wait a moment. Your emphasis is on the buffet and not on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Be reverent about it. I was at Arlington Cemetery one time, and I wanted to see the changing of the guard. How many of you have visited that? Anybody? Okay, quite a few. And I'd seen it on TV and these kinds of things, so we went there, and there were some, as I recall, there were some steps and places to stand or sit and to view the changing of the guard. And when this took place, we were told that we were to be reverent. We were told that we were to be silent. We were told not to be moving around. And I recall that there were some teenage boys over here on the side. I had no idea who they were, where they were from, didn't know. But they were doing some heckling. And they were talking and they were disrupting. And boy, those Marines, I'm telling you what, they put a stop to it right now. Because there is a body of a soldier from World War II and a body of a soldier from Korea that had been placed in that tomb to represent all of the unknowns that had given their life. Folks, if that's true of us as mortal human beings, what about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, that was suspended between heaven and earth as a sacrifice between God and man. And he hung there on the cross for your sins and for mine. So yes, we are reverent during this time. We are thoughtful. It has to do with worthily accepting. The redeemed, it's for the redeemed, it's for the reconciled, it's for the reverent, and it's for the repentant. It's for the repentant. Look, please, in verse 29. The Bible says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What's this mean, not discerning the Lord's body? Again, we know that it's not the elements of the Lord's body. We know that. The word discerning means understanding, concentrating. You know, we can be distracted many times during the Lord's Supper. We can be distracted with things that we need to do after church is over. We can be distracted in the serving of it. The folks that are distributing the elements. We can focus on the cup or the bread and what it looks like and all. We can be distracted by these kinds of things. We need to discern the great payment and understand and remind ourselves and focus and concentrate on why we are doing what we're doing today. It was because of Jesus' love, to get a new picture of what he had done. Leonardo da Vinci was 43 years old when he was commissioned by the Duke of Milan to paint that great mural, the great painting, The Last Supper. He painted each of the disciples in groups of three on each side. Three and three and three and three, and Jesus was pictured in the center. I understand and realize that this was more of a later approach to how that they envisioned the Last Supper to be. Most likely they were not seated at a table in that fashion. I understand that. But that was what they were familiar with in those days. And Jesus was in the center. He worked on that painting for 3 years. He had Jesus with his hands outstretched, and in one of his hands he had the cup where the juice was. And he took great detail on all of that and on the face betraying Jesus and all that kind of thing, and that's another subject. But he, on the cup, he spent a little time upon that cup and making that very masterful and used all of his abilities to make that cup really, really stand out. And because that was the cup holding the juice that Jesus had before him in his hand. When he was done, he had a friend come in and he said, "What do you think of the painting?" And the friend looked at it and he looked at the whole painting. He said, "The cup is amazing. You did a masterful work on that. Oh, it's gorgeous." Leonardo da Vinci took his brush with paint on it, and he took it and he wiped it with paint across the cup. He said these words, "Nothing must detract from the face of the Savior." And he repainted that cup to be a simple cup. Nothing must detract in this time that we have from what Jesus did for us, not discerning the Lord's body. Worthily, repentant. The Bible goes on to say, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Not talking about taking a snooze, folks. In Christians, sleeping has to do with the idea of dying. That some are dead among you, and this is why. Wow. Verse 31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." In this time, we should ask the Lord. There's much more in the message, but we'll do another time. In this time, we should ask the Lord, "Lord Jesus, is there something between you and me?" The songwriter said, "Nothing between my Lord. Nothing between." Is there anything hindering? Is there any unconfessed sin? The Bible says for a Christian, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Bible says we should judge ourselves. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We should judge our own sin, our own attitude, our own action, our own habit, our own deeds. Do an inventory ourselves. Don't make God do it. God can do it. And according to this passage, he will do it because he says that he will chasten us. Why not say, "Lord, I have failed you once again. This and this and this." Say the same thing as God says about our sin. Name it to God. We have time. When we pass out these elements, we have time. God perhaps is putting his finger on something in our hearts, even as I speak right now, that I have not mentioned. Specific areas. I implore you, as believers in Jesus Christ, this is not a mystical, magical thing, but it is a reverent thing that the Bible says God takes seriously. And if we receive it unworthily, I warn you, I warn us, that we drink damnation unto ourselves. We drink judgment unto ourselves. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not thinking that it matters to God. Say, wow, if that's the case, goodness sakes, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to take part. Why not just, as Pastor Reynolds would always say, why not hit the reset button? And why not say, Lord, I need a fresh walk, a fresh start with you. Would you forgive me and cleanse me? I'm not worthy of your forgiveness, but I agree with you about sin. I agree with you about my bad choices. I agree with you, and I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me. Because, Lord, I want a fellowship with you. That's what he wants. You see, he doesn't want us to pass this by. He wants us to receive it. He wants to commune with us. He wants to fellowship with us. That's why the Bible refers to it as communion. It's special. It's a cup of blessing. Jesus, he said, remember me when I hang on the cross. Now, if we will not surrender to him, and if we continue to rebel against him, it is the best thing to pass it on by. But there's no reason to remain in that rebellion. Jesus Christ is ready to forgive and cleanse and to welcome us back. He did it all for us. I was reading, and I want to get this. I want to get this right. In Krakow, Poland, there was a church that every hour, for 700 years, every hour on the hour, there is a trumpeter, not a recording, but a trumpeter that goes out there in a window of that steeple. And he plays something every hour on the hour, the same exact melody, the same exact notes. For 700 years, this has been going on. You can look it up and research it yourself. You'll see it. You may even be able to watch a video of it. Every hour, 24 hours a day, this goes on. And they welcome it. You see, it reminds them of something. The Tartars were coming to invade that town, that village, that city. And a trumpeter got up, and he got up to sound the alarm, and he played that melody that called them to arms to protect and to preserve that city. And he got almost all the way to the very end, and an arrow from one of the Tartan soldiers killed him and silenced that. And for 700 years, at the point in that song where that arrow would have struck the soldier, the very same point, they get to that note and it is muted and it stops. Exactly the same way. Reminding them of the one who came to warn them of coming judgment. My friend, Jesus said, remember me. I came to warn you of the holiness of God and the wrath of God on sin. And that I took, Jesus said, I took your wrath. I took your judgment. I want to love on you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to commune with you. That's what this service is all about. If you're not saved, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Forgive you of your sin. Come into your heart and life. It's not hard. The Holy Spirit, he will guide you. The Apostle Paul said it this way, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're a Christian, then let the Holy Spirit do an inventory in our hearts. If there's something that has to be forgiven, then forgive it. If there's something that we have to ask forgiveness for to God, then confess that and make that right. And may this be a blessed time. Don't stay in rebellion. Don't stay away. Don't pass it by. But if there is something that you will not let go of and that you know that God has dealt with you about, it is better for you to pass it by if you won't surrender to him. Let's bow our heads together, please. Our our pastors and our deacons will come. In the stillness of this moment, this is part of the service here today. This is a wonderful, blessed time. We're told that Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. We're going to pass the bread and the juice. And we're going to invite everyone to take part in this time of fellowship and communion. I wonder who might say, if I died right now where I sit, I do not know